Good morning. I'm Mike Pulsifer, and this is the CBS World News Roundup. 16 U.S. soldiers are among the at least 19 people wounded in an attack on a nightclub in Panama City. Details are sketchy, but apparently someone tossed a bomb through a window of the club. Lieutenant Colonel Terry Jones is with the U.S. Southern Command.
The explosive device was apparently thrown into the establishment, and the explosion and glass is what caused the injuries. At this time, there is no known motive for the act, nor have any claims of responsibility been made.
This is the first such attack since the United States moved to overthrow former Panamanian leader Manuel Noriega. And earlier this week, the Southern Command dropped a ban on visits to bars and the like by U.S. personnel. It had been in effect since the December 20th action against Noriega. Trade, the real business of the U.S.-Japan mini-summit, is to be dealt with in the Southern California desert today. Ron Allen has a look from Palm Springs.
There's a lot at stake when President Bush and Japanese Prime Minister Kaifu meet again today. This hastily planned weekend visit came about only after a round of high-level trade talks between the two nations broke off in frustration. The U.S. wants the Japanese to open markets to American products, thereby helping to reduce the huge U.S. trade deficit. U.S. officials are hoping Kaifu will be able to push for reforms at home now that his ruling party has received a mandate in recently completed elections. Yesterday, both leaders arrived in Palm Springs and met briefly. The primary topics were security concerns and sharing the cost of defending the Pacific region. The president is considering a reduction of U.S. troop levels. The Bush administration has been trying to lower expectations that these meetings will result in immediate trade concessions from the Japanese. But in the background lurks the possibility of congressional sanctions later this year if U.S. manufacturers can't get more goods on Japanese shelves. Ron Allen, CBS News, with the president in Palm Springs.
More than 9,000 Greyhound bus lines drivers, maintenance workers, and clerks are now in the second day of a strike. In Chicago, there may have been some strike-related violence.
A Greyhound bus was apparently shot at by an unknown passing vehicle. Two rounds struck the bus. There were some minor injuries, but it was mostly from flying glass. It's hard to tell, at least right now, if the rounds were fired from a passing car or from above.
And says Illinois State Police Sergeant Tom Pritchett, hard to tell if the shooting is really related to the strike. He says it happened in a part of Chicago in which incidents of that type are not uncommon. Money is the primary issue in the walkout. No new talks are scheduled. What do you think about all this voter ignorance and apathy? Goes the start of the old joke. I don't know, and I don't care, goes the rest. It's no joke to Mikhail Gorbachev as voters prepare to cast ballots tomorrow in the Soviet republics of Russia, Belarus, and the Ukraine.
This is Barry Peterson in Moscow. You might think that Soviets, so long denied the right to really vote in elections with multiple candidates to select their leaders, would flock to the voting booth. You might be wrong. Pre-election polls show voter apathy is rampant. 30% in one major city saying they won't even bother to vote. Another poll asked people if they were reading the posters and notices put up by candidates, or even knew who the candidates are. 41% said they had seen such notices but didn't bother to read them and hadn't paid attention to the candidates. That is not good news for Mikhail Gorbachev. These elections are for city and regional officials, and Gorbachev wants the voters to turn out the old-liners and elect reformers. But there's no guarantee that will happen if his people, offered this chance at democracy, turn their back on it. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Moscow.
Another secret tunnel connecting North and South Korea is secret no more. The story from Peter Moss in Seoul.
American and South Korean officials said that the infiltration tunnel extends more than 1,000 yards into South Korean territory. This is the fourth tunnel found under the demilitarized zone since 1974. Military officials believe there are at least 15 more tunnels that North Korea would use to sneak its troops into the South during a surprise attack. The tunnel, which was found at a depth of about 500 yards, is tall enough and wide enough to allow three people to stand side by side. South Korea's defense minister called the tunnel an intolerable act of aggression. North Korea has denied ever digging any infiltration tunnels. Peter Moss for CBS News, Seoul.
The opposition victory in Nicaragua's elections could well end the civil fighting there, but another problem looms large, the economy. Bill Gasparini reports from Managua.
After 10 long years of war and economic crisis, Nicaraguans are tired and want a better life. Purchasing power has dropped by half in the last decade, and unemployment is estimated to be 34%. Salaries can never keep up with a steep inflationary spiral. While the Sandinistas have long blamed the situation on the Contra war and the U.S. economic blockade, the opposition says misguided Sandinista policies, such as centralized government controls, are more responsible. Whatever the explanation, the new government of President-elect Violeta Chamorro has formed an emergency plan to deal with the situation. Dr. Francisco Mayorga is Chamorro's main economic advisor. He says economic stagnation is the chief problem in Nicaragua.
The people are unemployed. The factories are being used below 50% capacity. There's a lot of land that everybody knows that is lying idle in the hands of the state. So there is a great slack.
Mayorga says that stimulating production and reducing government controls is the way to recovery. He says idle state lands will be privatized to boost production of agricultural products like cotton and coffee. And he's counting on encouraging foreign investment and foreign aid to get factories working again. Some of that foreign aid will likely come from the United States. Private business people praise the new plan, but recognize that the situation is so bad it will take time to bring about a recovery. The bottom line, according to the new government, will be a return to free market principles and away from state controls. Bill Gasparini for CBS News, Managua.
It could be rough sledding for participants in this year's Iditarod dog sled race. Kerry Anderson has a preview from Anchorage.
70 mushers, each with as many as 20 dogs in front of their sled, will embark on what could be the most challenging trail in the history of the Iditarod. Race veteran Norman Vaughn says the 1,100-mile route from downtown Anchorage to Nome will be covered with more than the usual amount of snow.
In some places, 20 feet deep. The other factor is the moose out there that get onto the trails, own the trails. They don't like us, and they charge us. I've had two head-on encounters with moose this year, both of which I escaped with my life, but my dogs didn't all escape.
Vaughn, at age 84, calls himself the oldest and the slowest. He doesn't always finish, but then neither do some who are one quarter his age. Kerry Anderson for CBS News, Anchorage.
Only one of the six inmates who escaped from Colorado's maximum security prison in Canyon City is still at large. The inmate somehow obtained a gun. A prison guard was shot and critically wounded. The man at large is a convicted murderer. Six people, including some children, are dead after an overnight row house fire in Turtle Creek, Pennsylvania. That's a suburb of Pittsburgh. There's no word yet on what caused that fire. Time on the roundup, 10 after the hour.